As we begin a new year, it seems appropriate that I reintroduce myself to you. It's been a couple years since I've shared my testimony, and since there's so many new families attending our church, including our associate pastor, he has never heard my story. So this is for you, my friend, and for all of you who are new. For those of you who have heard it before, well, hopefully God uses it to encourage you a little bit. Let me begin by saying that I realize that testimonies sometimes exalt a person. Sometimes testimonies seem like a show-off. Sometimes they glorify one's former life. And sometimes they're a plea for sympathy. Let me assure you that that's not my motive for sharing my testimony. I simply want you to see that if God could save a wretch like me, then He can save anyone. He can save you. No one is beyond His reach. Amen? Christ is in the business of rescuing lost sinners. And that's my testimony. He rescued me from the direction I was going. My testimony is going to be based on the four verses we just read, Psalm 40, 1 through 4. David wrote the psalm, so it's really his testimony. It's really him that's saying that God brought him up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. So I'm going to borrow his testimony this morning, and I've titled my message, Out of the Miry Clay. I just love that word, miry clay. You've been there, haven't you? Where you almost like quicksand, sinking in. I'm going to give you five words, and I've included an outline if you're one that likes to take notes. I'm going to give you the five words right up front that summarize my testimony. Here they are, ready? Salvation, stability, singing, service, and sovereignty. Sovereignty. Right in the middle of the word sovereignty, you see the word reign. That God reigns, that God is in charge. That's what that word means. So we're going to reread these four verses as I share my story. My first point is salvation. Salvation. Let me read verses 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me, and He heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. This is my story. I was in a pit of destruction. I was sinking quickly until God rescued me. I'm going to tell you a little background about me, and as I do, you'll understand what I mean. I was born into a very dysfunctional family, like many of you. There was lots of drug abuse, alcohol abuse, physical abuse, lots of violence, lots of illegal activity. I was the oldest of five kids. Again, I'm not sharing this to gain your sympathy, but to assure you that God can rescue you no matter what your background is. It doesn't matter how bad it's been in the past. Don't keep blaming your parents for your state of condition. God deals with you separately from your family. Many of you have had similar backgrounds, maybe much worse backgrounds. But God can deliver you. Amen? Amen. Say, God can deliver me. God can transform me. Let me begin by introducing to you my family. My father's name was Willard Woodrow Wissner. WWW, and everyone said that meant Willard won't work. He was a young rebel, always in trouble. His claim to fame was a role in the movie The Blackboard Jungle. You guys remember that movie? 1955. It was an all-boys school, and there was a teacher brought in to try to tame these boys. That's him on the right with the open jacket. We'll zoom in a little bit. Oops, can you go back one? You don't have the zoom in picture? Okay. That's him on the right with the white shirt and the leather jacket. Interestingly, how they chose these young men that were extras, there's a few famous actors in the movie, was they surveyed the schools in Southern California and found out what kids were in trouble, and asked him if they wanted a part in the movie because it's about troubled kids. So he was elected. About the same time, he married my mother. I think that was the next picture. Her name was Barbara Ann Smith, and she was a tiny little thing, cute little blonde. About that same year, 1955, I was born in El Monte, California. What a cute kid. I still got those ears, don't I? For fun, would you like to see my first bike? Here it is. That's me giving a ride to my little sister. I was the oldest of the five kids. Here's a picture several years later of my mother and all five kids together. That's me on the far right with the short jeans. I must have been going through a growth spurt. Unfortunately, because my dad was a rebel and in trouble, he taught us to follow in his footsteps. We stole, we lied, we cheated, we fought, we were very dysfunctional. If not for God's intervention, I'm sure I would have followed in my father's footsteps. I was in a pit of destruction and sinking fast. You don't think that happens with kids, but already I was bent towards doing things wrong. Amazingly, though, God gave me a sensitive heart as a child and an awareness of Him. Somehow I knew there was a God. Even as a small child, I was always praying to God, praying on behalf of my family. God, excuse my dad for what he'd done. That was the word I used, excuse, not forgive. Even though I didn't know anything about God, I was praying to Him. Somewhere I learned the children's song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's a song I remember as a child. And I'd seen children in movies kneeling beside their beds and praying. Maybe you've seen that with Shirley Temple or Timmy and Lassie, kneeling before the bed. So I started kneeling and praying all the time. And like David in Psalm 40, I can say that God inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. He heard my cry. But His answer came in a way I didn't expect. My parents separated when I was about 12, and all five of us kids ended up in foster homes. At that time, we were living in Oregon as a migrant worker in a berry field. Migrant workers, we all worked to help cover the cabin. After my parents got in more trouble and got arrested, we five kids ended up as wards of the court. You ever heard that term before? I mean, we were in foster care from that time forward. After bouncing around some foster homes, I finally went to live with the Opperman family, a large Christian family who went to church, get this, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. To some, that might have seemed excessive, three times a week going to church, and maybe even more sometimes. You say, well, that would be miserable. Not to me. It's where I felt I belonged. I loved going to church. I interacted with the adult Bible classes when there weren't any kids' classes. I was exposed to the gospel for the first time, and immediately I was drawn to God. I wanted to know everything I could about this God that I've been praying to. In 1968, when I was 13, my foster parents took me to a Billy Graham crusade in Portland, Oregon. And I decided that's my time to make my stand. So I responded, went forward, received Christ. And Christ was the answer I'd been searching for all those years. Now I knew who it was that I'd been praying to. I was baptized a short time later. I was sold out to Jesus from that day forward. I never got in trouble, never rebelled, never left the faith. I was ready to follow Jesus. Looking back, I can honestly say that He brought me up, out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. He plucked me, as if it were, out of one family and put me into this godly family. And He gave me a chance to find Him and have a change of life. So the first word summarizing my testimony is salvation. He saved me. He reached down and plucked me out and put my feet on solid ground. So that second word is stability. And He set my feet on a rock, making my footsteps firm. Before this, I was unstable, heading the wrong direction, and God put my foot upon the rock, the foundation of Jesus Christ. I finally found solid ground. Once I met Christ, I never looked back. I had tasted already the old life, and it was only bitter. I wanted nothing to do with the drugs. This is the 70s when everybody was doing drugs. I had nothing to do with the drugs, the alcohol, or the crime that I'd been exposed to all my life. God gave me a hunger and a thirst for him. I attended every Bible study I could. I read and studied the Bible on my own. And guess what my favorite study book was called? What the Bible is All About. This is the book I used as a kid. This is not the physical book. I had an older version of it. This book has been redone over and over, and new editions are made, been added to and condensed. But this book's had a major impact on me. And that's why I want to share with you a little bit from each. The way this book is written, there's a chapter for each book of the Bible. So what you're going to get in the next year is a sermon on each book of the Bible. I absorbed everything I could about God. Let me tell you about my personality, my natural personality. I was very shy, very introverted, afraid to talk to anybody, and horrified at the idea of public speaking. That still scares me a little bit. Not here, because I know you, but to stand in front of a group you don't know, that's a scary thing, isn't it? Little by little, though, God transformed me. By his grace, I overcame my fears, and I began sharing one-on-one with people about Christianity. God enabled me to lead some of my classmates to Christ, and I get calls and letters even today. People say, I remember you from high school. You're the one that shared Jesus with me. I love that verse. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away, and all things become new. That's me. I was nothing like what I was as a child. After high school graduation in 1974, I was faced with a life-changing decision. What's next? Every high schooler, right? Every senior. What you going to do next year? People kept asking me about it. I said, well, I guess I'm going to go to college. As a ward of the court, as a foster kid for 7 years, I could literally attend any state college I wanted to, debt-free. They'd pay the cost. I was a ward of the court, not of my family. But after 13 years of school, don't most people go 12? Well, I repeated the sixth grade. I wasn't the sharpest kid, and still not that sharp, but I was not interested in going to more college, more school, and learn more about math. I'd had 13 years of math, science, health, history. None of that interested me. So at the last moment, I decided to go to Canada. Not to draft the Dodge or to dodge the draft. That was a little bit after the draft. But I met this hippie guy with a van. He said, I'm going up to Bible college up in Canada. You want to go? So I hopped in the van with him. And we went to Prairie Bible College, and I never looked back. I thought I'd go there for a year, but I didn't want to leave. I absolutely loved learning about the Bible. I couldn't get enough. So I spent 4 years at Bible college. It was a dream come true. That leads me to the third word of my testimony. We've talked about salvation and stability. Singing is the third word. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. When God saved me, he transformed me from being sorrow-filled, introverted, and he replaced it with singing. I loved to sing. I loved the hymns. Of course, that's all we had in those days. But I knew them by heart and still know most of the hymns by heart. I joined choirs at my church, at my school, at my college. And while I was at Prairie, I was invited to join a quartet. A quartet is a foursome, four men who sing together. I was the first tenor in those days. Now I'm a gravel tenor. Again, this was a miracle because I was naturally very shy and introverted. Choir is one thing, but to be with just four of you up there singing, every voice could be heard, singing, and then we'd have to share our testimonies at the different churches in front of hundreds of people. So this is how God provided for me. When I went to Prairie, I only had a few dollars, and since I had no family to support me, I was a ward of the court. The court wasn't going to support me in Canada or going to a Christian school. I was on my own at 19, had no money, had no career. So here's what happened. For several summers, I traveled with the choirs from the school, with the quartets, on behalf of the school, church to church, camp to camp, conference to conference, and in return, they paid for my school. It was a trade deal. If you come and sing and represent our school in the summer, we'll cover all your room, board, and tuition the next year. So I attended 4 years of Bible college and graduated without any loans or debt. Amen? That's you who got student loans. You're going, amen. They're a burden, aren't they? Praise God for his provision. Here's a picture of my graduation. That's my mother on the left, my sister on the right. That was 1978. Boy, do I look tall in that picture. They were both under 5 feet tall, so made me look big. I was the first one and the only one from my family to graduate from high school or college. You may be wondering, what happened to my four siblings? I wish they had found the same path as I did, but sadly, they didn't. They were all trapped in the miry clay. All of them had issues with drugs, alcohol, and illegal activity. Two of them, all younger than me, two of them have passed away, way too young, and two of them are still alive, one in California here, and one in Oregon. And I still pray for them that they might someday escape that pit of destruction their life is in. Kids, listen to me. Any kids here? Any high schoolers? Any junior highers? Drugs and alcohol will destroy your life. And they make look exciting, and your friends may do it, and you may want to feel big and be included. They will destroy your life. Don't even start. Don't say, well, I can drink a little, because some people can't control that. I can do a little drugs here and there. You can't control that. It'll take over your life. Take it from me. I've seen it firsthand. That's why I don't drink or do drugs, even though some of them are legal now. Doesn't make them right if they impair you. The fourth word that summarizes my testimony, we've seen salvation, stability, singing, and service is the fourth one, service. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust. Amen to that, right? How blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. After graduating from Bible college in 1978, I returned to my home church in Oregon. It was called the Chapel of the Hills. Isn't that beautiful? It was a beautiful little church. I immediately was called into service because while I was at Bible school, the church burned down. It was a log building. And it burned down uninsured. So we went about raising money and physically rebuilding that little church. It was done by 1980. During this time, I became the associate pastor. The church met in an old grange while we were rebuilding. So I became the associate pastor of this tiny little church, mainly ministering to the youth and sometimes preaching. But I was single and lonely. Somehow I thought I might meet a girl at Prairie Bible College and get married, but that didn't happen. When I went to Prairie, they told me there was a girl behind every tree. I soon discovered that there's no trees on the prairies. Actually, the school was full of beautiful ladies, twice as many girls as there were guys, but none would have me. So I came back after 4 years of Bible college, single and lonely. Here's a picture of me and right out of Bible college. But again, God provided. Shortly after returning back to my hometown from college, I met the cutest, sweetest little girl. And she even had a Bible name. Her name was Rachel. Rachel. For me, it was love at first sight. She worked at Dairy Queen and I loved ice cream, so... It was a match made in heaven. Eventually, I convinced her to date me, and 10 months later, after we met, 10 months later, we were married. I know she looks pretty young, doesn't she? But she was the ripe old age of 18. Almost 19. I was 24. I was 6 years older. We were married on March 29th, 1980. Again, I look tall in that picture. Depends on who you surround yourself with. Now, 43 years later, I can truly say that we were meant for each other. Together, we began to serve the Lord in the church. A couple years later, I was pretty young, maybe 26, I became a full-time pastor. Amazingly, I became the senior pastor of the very same church that I'd grown up in, the Chapel of the Hills. that I mentioned earlier that we helped build and were married in, I became the pastor of that church. What's really bizarre is my foster parents still attended the church. Somehow, God enabled them to transition from foster child to their pastor. They called me Pastor Mike. And that was, snot-nosed kid that was in their house for all those years. But somehow God enabled me to become their pastor. Here's a picture of me and my elders, in 1973. See the guy on the far left? I know I haven't changed in 30 years. Just for fun, I wore the same tie today that I had in that picture 30 years ago. Not much changes with me. I think I saw that jacket too. Probably not, because I'm a little heavier than that. God allowed me to minister there in my home church for over 20 years. And God blessed the ministry. We grew to the point where we outgrew our little building. We got a bigger building. And then we had 3 worship services in the bigger building. I can truly say with David, many will see and will fear and will trust in the Lord. God used me to build up that little church. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord their trust. I feel truly blessed to have been called into the ministry. I was the least likely candidate for ministry, let me tell you. But there's no greater calling. I don't know why everybody doesn't want to be a pastor. It's the greatest job in the world. God also blessed us with children, lots of children, 7 daughters, 5 sons, 12 in all, no twins, no adopted. That's an older picture from 2006. That's Mercy on my lap there. She's now 17 years old. So here's a more recent picture after one of our weddings. If you look closely, they're raising their fingers for what number they are. It's number 1 there is Sarah on the right. She lives in San Antonio. Number 2 is Anna. She lives in Beaumont. You can see that I'm looking down at my notes there so I don't goof. Number 3 is Micah. He lives in Crestline. Isaac, his family lives in Twin Peaks. Grace lives in Virginia. Miriam lives in Tennessee. Seth lives in Rim Forest. Mary lives in Arrow Bear. Number 9, John lives in Twin Peaks. Hope in Arizona. Andrew in Twin Peaks, and Mercy in Twin Peaks. So most of them have stayed close around. Several of them are here today. And as you might expect, God bless us with many grandchildren. We have 32 so far. I'm not going to try to name them. And with several unmarried, we're going to have a few more. We'll probably have twice that in a few years. So we are truly blessed. And to think, I was once a lonely guy. God definitely solved that problem. I will never be lonely again. In 2001, that was 22 years ago, God called us to make a move from Oregon, from our home church, to this church. This became our home church, Twin Peaks Community Church. And again, we feel blessed to have found such a wonderful church family. And if God allows, we intend to stay here the rest of our lives, which at my age may not be that long. I think there's a picture we just took. Did you get that picture, Dave? There we go. That was taken this week, so I guess I have changed 30 years. Now you know my story. How God rescued me out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on solid ground upon the rock. How he transformed me from a liar and a thief into a pastor. From an introverted little shy boy into a preacher of all things. In conclusion, I want to share one final word and my life verse. And that word is sovereignty. Sovereignty. This is my life verse. You, John 15:16, you did not choose me, Jesus said, but I chose you. And appointed you that you should bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. I remember reading this verse in my early 20s, and it seemed to really jump off the page. It was as if God was speaking right to me. He says, you did not choose me, Mike. I chose you, and I have a mission for you to go and bear fruit. This is my call to ministry. God literally picked me up out of the miry clay, out of my natural family, and put me into a spiritual family, into a Christian foster home, and into the church family. This is my family. So I cannot take credit for God's calling, for God's choosing. I was a helpless, lost, lonely, rebellious little boy. I was a liar and a thief. I was sinking into the miry clay. I was on the path to hell when God got a hold of my life and pulled me out of that. God, in his mercy, pulled me up and out of that pit. God, in his sovereignty, chose me to serve him in spite of my unworthiness. He saved a wretch like me. Beautiful old song. He's called me to bear fruit, and he's allowed me to serve in ministry now for over 40 years. That is my story. That is my testimony. And it can be yours too. Now listen, some of you are here lost. You know down deep that you are far from God. God will rescue you out of the pit of destruction. God will deliver you out of the miry clay. God will stabilize you and put your feet on solid rock. God will transform you and put a new song in your heart. God will empower you to serve him and bear fruit if you call on him. What did that first verse say? Let me read it again. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Has he heard your cry yet? Have you cried out to God? Have you asked him to rescue you, to deliver you, to stabilize you, to empower you, to transform you? He'll do that. He did it for David. He did it for me. And he'll do it for you. Amen? Amen? Let's pause and pray. Call out to God right now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be stabilized, shall be transformed. If you call upon the Lord, he will answer. If you sincerely say, Lord Jesus, take charge of my life, pull me out of this pit, I want to follow you all the days of my life. If you sincerely pray that, he will transform you, change you, come into your life, and make you a new person. Father, I pray for those right now in the silence of their own heart. They're crying out to you. They know that they've wandered away. They've drifted. They got into the mire and the mud and they're sinking. Lord, reach down and lift them up. Hear their cry. Restore their hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before we do a closing song, listen to the words of this song. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, how safe am I. Do you know that song? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the water lifted me, now say, stand up now, ready? Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me, God lifted me, God's love lifted me, amen? All right, worship team's going to lead us in a closing song.